Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Every year we talk up Colorado Right to Life's annual banquet, and today we're going to look back to what has happened since that banquet. And to join me for this, we have Brian Rohrbaugh in studio. Brian, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Brian is a Columbine dad that my audience knows very well, but he is the newly elected president to Colorado Right to Life. So, Brian, here's a list of some of the things that has happened since the banquet. Katie Couric called. You were on CBS Evening News in their free speech zone.
That's right.
What was that about, the topic?
That was the day of the tragic school shooting of the Amish school.
That's right.
And Katie Couric called me directly, which is very unusual. Usually a producer calls me. And she told me that with the numerous times that I was on the Today Show, she wanted me to speak in their free speech segment about my thoughts about what had happened.
And that occurred that night, and it was dramatic, including the aftermath. So we'll talk about some of that. The pages of the Washington Post, they picked up this story and brought it to many hundreds of thousands of readers. Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly, the O'Reilly Factor, did something I think unprecedented. Not only did Bill O'Reilly have you on the first segment for 10 minutes in the midst of a huge political scandal at the time, but also he played in its entirety your, was it 90 seconds on CBS Evening News?
Yes.
He played that in its entirety, and then that reran again the night before Thanksgiving. Then CNN and Colorado's Nine News both had Leslie Hanks on. She is the vice president of Colorado Right to Life.
Right.
And they had her on to talk about Plan B. And we're going to talk about all these issues. And then a very popular local radio show in Colorado, Kaplis and Silverman on KHAL Radio, had you on for an hour to talk through your CBS appearance. And also, you've been elected president of Colorado Right to Life. You guys have joined, Colorado Right to Life joined the ABC fight against the Komen Race for the Cure. That's the abortion breast cancer link. You guys have argued against fetal stem cell research on CBS local Colorado affiliate News 4. And you have accepted Planned Parenthood, the president of Planned Parenthood's invitation to a fight.
So that's right.
That's some of what's happened. There's a lot more. But right. Let's start with this. So Katie Couric calls you, and you appear on their free speech segment on the CBS Evening News.
That's right. She called me in the afternoon. She was the first person who had told me about the shooting at the Amish school, and she asked me if I would do that segment. And I asked her what our time frame was, and she said it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours maximum before I would need to tape that segment. And I told her I'd have to think about it. I would have to determine if I had something meaningful to say, and she gave me her cell phone number and said, call me directly. I really want you to do this. Let me know as soon as possible. So I spoke with my wife and decided it would be worth doing, and I asked my wife to bring the kids down and go down to the studio with me, and we sat down and we wrote what I was going to talk about and what we thought was important, and then I recorded it at the local affiliate, and they aired it without editing it. Mm-hmm. On the CBS Evening News.
Now, your two adopted children from the Ukraine?
That's correct.
And what are their ages?
They're 4 and 5. Rachel is 5. Isaac is 4.
And they were in the studio while you were recording?
Yes. They're often in the studio when I'm doing either television or radio, as you know.
The sweetest
and,
kids.
Yeah, they sit there and they watch and they're quiet and usually when they're in the radio studio, they want to say a little bit into the microphone.
Right. Okay, so when you were on CBS, and that's before, I think maybe about 7 million people, the message that you gave, can you give us a summary of it?
Well, I was talking about, of course, the tragedy of these innocent children being murdered, but I was tying it back to what I've learned since Columbine. And in a nutshell, I don't remember the exact words I used, but in a nutshell, what I was talking about is that we've devalued human life. We've eliminated God from our schools and from our government. We've replaced him with the religion of evolution, where the strong kill the weak without moral consequences. Mm-hmm. There is no inherent right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that's the foundation of the tragedies we're seeing. Mm-hmm. In the case of Columbine, the two murderers, in their basement videos and in their writings, said they loved evolution, and evolution gave them the right to kill the weak, and that's what they were going to do.
And the Germans thought the same thing with the National Socialists, the Nazis.
Absolutely.
That it's evolution, survival of the fittest. They were more fit, they believed, than the minorities, and they slaughtered them.
That's right. And then, so I talked about that. I talked about how when abortion became legal, that first of all, abortion is murder, and it's the murder of an innocent child, and it has devalued the value of children. So, of course, there's no surprise that we see innocent people being murdered
right.
by people who think they can do anything they want.
Yeah.
And all these things tie together, and they lead to things like men going into a school in Bailey, you know, or an Amish school, and murdering innocent children.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just other students doing it, although that's been a well-documented tragedy. It's now escalated to where people who want fame or infamy or whatever have decided that during their suicide attempt, they're going to kill the innocent as well.
Okay, so that was on CBS before about 7 million people. Then the Washington Post picked up the story, and they ran this that Wednesday, and they have a circulation of over 700,000 households, and they dominate the U.S. Capitol, Congress, and the whole executive branch and the judiciary.
Right.
And that the title of their headline for the article was, "On CBS, Columbine Dad Blames Violence on Secularism." And they actually had a reasonably long and extended quote from your commentary. And it started with, "This country is in a moral freefall." And it went through to, "The murder of innocent children is always wrong, including by abortion. Abortion has diminished the value of children."
Right.
So that was, this is significant opportunity to get the message before the masses that there is a standard of right and wrong. That standard comes from God. It doesn't come from evolution or from us. And it's wrong to kill the innocent.
That's right.
That's what is being reinforced from what I can tell over and over. Now, Leslie Hanks, and she's been a longtime spokesman for Colorado Rights
Life. Oh, yeah, without question. Leslie Hanks has worked, you know, long hours, day and night, working to promote the legitimate pro-life cause without compromise, to deal with the issues on a daily basis, and she's done a great job for years and years and years.
Yeah, she's one of my heroes. So, and she's been reelected vice president of Colorado Right to Life, and she sent out a press release of your CBS News appearance, including the headline, "Brian Rohrbaugh is a newly elected board member of Colorado Right to Life."
Right.
Now, that's right before the board met and elected you president. But hours after that, you got a call, I think, from Fox News.
Well, right. And actually, what happened is I was elected to the board, and then shortly after that, a day or two later, is when the Amish school shooting came about. And then after that aired and Leslie sent out the press release, I got a call from a producer at Fox News, and he said, "Are you aware of the controversy because of your free speech segment on the CBS Evening News?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Oh, I think it's great." Mm-hmm. And he says, "Oh, well, we want you on O'Reilly's show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you be on today?" And so, you know, I talked with him about it, and throughout the day, he called me back. And every time he called, I assumed that they had another story and they were going to bump this segment.
Right.
Because that happens a lot with the media.
Yeah, and that was a huge news cycle with this family values Republican from Florida
right.
exposed as a homosexual child predator.
That's right.
Right. So that was the big story. And O'Reilly bumps that to start the show with 10 minutes on abortion leads to murder.
That's right. And so what happened is I got several calls, and each time they moved it up a segment until he told me that Bill was doing his talking points on this very issue and then wanted to talk with me about it in the first segment. So that happened.
And when they called, they pointed out, you've told me in the past, they knew that you were newly elected to Colorado Right to Life.
That's correct.
And that encouraged me because it shows the value of teamwork. You're on CBS Evening News. Leslie Hanks is sending out a press release, making the connection, giving to Colorado Right to Life the opportunity to take that moral high ground and say abortion is always wrong without exception, and connecting the dots.
Well, that's right. And, of course, you know, they called me initially because of my ties to Columbine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Katie Couric said that you always spoke so eloquently on the Today Show that the nation needs to hear from you on this tragedy.
Right.
And so, you know, I was honored for that. But the other thing that Katie Couric knew is that I, when I'm on a show like that, I speak what my values are. Mm-hmm. I don't try to sugarcoat it. I don't try to compromise in any way.
Right.
My positions are based on what God told us to do, mm-hmm. tells us to do, and his laws. And so I realized that I don't have the authority to compromise on do not murder. Mm-hmm. So,
Brian, I've asked some of a number of the board members of Colorado Right to Life are friends of mine. We've been supporting Colorado Right to Life for all the years we've been on the air. And I've asked them, back when you were nominated to be the president of the group, why do you support Brian Rohrbaugh? And they said, well, two reasons. The main reason is because he will not compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder. He will not compromise on that for any supposed political advantage under any pressure. And secondly, he's been in the media for so many years, locally and nationally. These people have his home phone number and cell phone numbers, and they're inclined to go to him. So this is a spokesperson who will honor God, not compromise under moral pressure. And what an opportunity Colorado Right to Life will have. And the exciting thing is, in retrospect, since the banquet, this has worked out. That idea of fighting against child killing by using the resources we have, and Brian, I hate to put it that way, but you're one of those resources, this plan is working.
Well, you know, from my perspective, of course, it was an honor to be considered to be on the board, and especially to be the president. And I told the board that my position will be, if elected president, that as an organization, we will never compromise on God's law, do not murder. We will never support a supposed pro-life bill that ends with, and then you can kill the baby.
Right. In fact, the interview we had with the president of Wyoming Right to Life in this studio, Stephen Ertelt, and National Right to Life thinks it's a great idea to pass this law that says a late-term abortion, the abortionist has to offer anesthesia to the baby, to the mom, for her baby. And that basically humanizes late-term abortion, makes it more palatable for our godless society. And pro-lifers think these laws that end with, and then you could kill the baby, they think they're good laws.
Well, that's right. They don't think through. And what I find interesting in the pro-life community, and I've seen it up close and personal, and I've seen it through all of this, is that the pro-life community thinks that if their intentions are good, then they don't have to be careful on what laws, how they write the laws. Mm. And everything's intent. So if you dare question the wisdom of a law like this or the lack thereof, then they attack you immediately saying you're not pro-life and all, yet they can't defend what they put out there, so they come back with statements like, well, that's not what we intended, or we don't think that
right.
will happen.
Right.
And so they consider that intent is as good as the final product, and it's not.
Right.
I'm not questioning people's intent.
Yeah.
I'm questioning their end result. And
yeah.
look, 39 years, abortion has been legal, starting right here in Colorado. Now, would you say that there's more abortions now or in 1967?
Well, today, far more, vastly more.
And are they?
The number has gone down in recent years because it's no longer a stigma for an unmarried woman to be pregnant, and birth control is more effective, and lesbianism and bisexuality is rampant in high schools and colleges. So there are all these factors that have slightly reduced the number of abortions.
Right. There's that, but there's nothing solid that says this is something that the pro-life community has accomplished.
Right.
They'd like us to believe there is,
right.
But it doesn't really pan out that way. But let's look at the other thing. Are abortions now more grisly, later term? Are they using body parts for experiments? I mean, University
yeah.
Hospital,
right.
There was a price list of what they were paying for baby parts.
Right. They're harvesting organs from aborted babies, and they're selling them to our universities, and this is now routine.
That it's routine, and this proves that what started right here in 1967 is not better today.
Yeah.
It's worse today.
Yeah.
And all the evidence
says that.
We're not
winning the battle, in other words.
And if you say that, okay, we've dropped from 1.5 million abortions a year to 1.3 million abortions a year, of course the drop is a good thing, but it's 1.3 million abortions too many. And our lawmakers, if they're pro-life, they need to stand up and say abortion is murder and it's wrong.
What we have here is the pro-lifers are making late-term abortion more humane.
No question.
They're hoping a woman will say, oh, the baby could feel pain. I'm not going to have the abortion. They don't consider the 10 women for every one like that who's going to say, oh, the baby will not feel pain. It's going to be anesthetized. They'll be painkillers.
It will appease their conscience.
Right.
It will make it easier to have the abortion, not harder.
Right. Those are the strategic consequences.
Right.
But the moral issue is more important. Any law that ends and then you could kill the baby is a bad law.
Right. And let's explain that so that everyone's clear. In this law, first they want to tell women that, look, your baby is going to feel pain, and now you have the option of giving them a painkiller. And, of course, that creates a profit center for Planned Parenthood and all the other abortionists.
Yeah, they'll sell those drugs.
And, of course, who's going to follow up at whether they just sell the painkiller, whether they actually even use it? Because let's face it, the abortionist loves to murder children, so he doesn't care if they suffer.
Yeah.
So there's the issue of your, once again, depending on the honesty of an abortionist
right.
to comply with the law. But then beyond all of that, after you have told her that this will hurt your baby and you can have a painkiller, then you can kill the baby.
Hmm.
And that's how the law ends. First you do these two things, then you can kill the baby.
Right.
And that's what makes it inherently evil.
Right. God's word, the Bible, tells us it's bad to do evil that good might come of it. It doesn't work. You can't do evil that good might come of it. So you look at the law says, and then you could kill the baby. That means it's a bad law. Then you look at the consequences, and pro-lifers are so glib and Pollyanna when they think, oh, there will be all these good consequences. This makes late-term abortion more humane, and a law like this could keep late-term abortion legal in America for another 50 or 100 years. If Roe v. Wade is outlawed tomorrow, then as long as they offer a painkiller, even late-term abortion is legal by this federal law.
Yeah, and those are consequences that are foreseeable.
Right.
But anytime we decide that we're going to modify God's word to use it the way we want, we're not smart enough to see the unforeseen consequences. We have to rely on the authority and knowledge of God. He said, do not murder. So we simply need to end abortion.
Mm.
We don't need to regulate the killing.
Yeah, you don't regulate rape. You don't regulate the killing of Jews in Germany. You don't regulate the killing of unborn children because it further entrenches it. It makes it further morally tolerable by the masses and by our politicians and judges. Now, Colorado Right to Life is attempting to take the moral high ground. They were the first Right to Life organization in the country, the first statewide Right to Life group. And abortion started here, as you said, Brian, and it's Colorado Right to Life's job. It's their obligation to lead this battle. And I know that the organization needs resources. They need money. So I'd like to take the opportunity to urge people to make a phone call, write a check, go to the website, and make a donation to Colorado Right to Life. And do it today. Do it now, because it is vitally needed.
Well, that's true. We are certainly are challenged with our budget. There's no question about it. And just so people understand, there is only one full-time employee of Colorado Right to Life, and that's our office manager, and she's great. The rest of us are all volunteers, and so I would certainly love your help with the organization, with a financial gift. And also, I'd like you to join as a member. If you believe in the direction we're going, show that support by becoming a member. It's $20 a year for your entire family. Mm-hmm. So it's not very expensive, and it adds your name to our database. It adds your voice to our presentation to lawmakers. And no matter where you are in the country, join Colorado Right to Life, because I hate to say it, but National Right to Life has really let down the people that support it. If they care about doing the right thing, National Right to Life has lost their way, and I hope they'll come back, but until they do, I would really be pleased if you would support our organization.
Yeah, I think people, pro-lifers around the country, have to start looking at Colorado Right to Life as the new torchbearer for the battle against abortion. So what I want to do is give out the phone number to the office. Also, I'm going to give out the website, because people could call and give a pledge with a credit card. You could go to the website and click on donate, or we'll also give out the address. You could send a check. And most importantly is somebody who could call and say, I want to pledge so much a month. Here's my credit card. And then once a month, Colorado Right to Life can process that pledge. And, Brian, I never give out all this stuff on the air because it takes so much time.
That's right.
But this is vital. Okay, the phone number for Colorado Right to Life, please write it down, 303-753-9394, 303-753-9394. That's to call and make a one-time donation. You could call and say, I want my family to be a member. We want to be members. We want to get the newsletter. Or you could say, sign me up for $50 a month or $100 a month or $35 a month, whatever. Okay, the website is ColoradoRightToLife.org, ColoradoRightToLife.org. When you go there, you click on donate. If you give more than $20, in the memo field, in the comment field, just add the word membership. So then you'll also be a member. Or you can write them, 2050, that's 2050 South Oneida Street, O-N-E-I-D-A, South Oneida Street, Suite 116, Denver, Colorado, 80224, 80224. Please call. I never ask this intensely for anybody to support Denver Bible Church or Bob and Hurt Live. I'm asking to please call Colorado Right to Life and offer help, because we need the pro-life movement to have clear moral leadership. This is our moment. This is our time.
Thank you very much, Bob. And, of course, I still have to encourage the audience to continue to support your show, because you have educated thousands upon thousands of people the strategy that needs to be followed in the pro-life movement, and that's from a biblical point of view. It's not some personal strategy. So please support this.
Well, thank you, Brian. So if I could continue with our list, Colorado Right to Life ends up on KUSA 9 News when Leslie Hanks appeared to speak against Ms. Magazine when they listed 5,000 women who were proud of their abortions. Leslie did such a great job, CNN picked up that interview and ran that worldwide. That was extraordinary. This is all happening in the weeks since the Colorado Right to Life banquet.
That's right.
It is just a major push to get out into the media and get the word across that we're talking about killing innocent children. We're not talking about waiting periods. We're not making abortion more palatable. We're saying it's wrong to kill unborn children. Then the Kaplis and Silverman show came. We're going chronologically here. You were on KH Radio for an hour, and what an hour that was.
Right. Well, what happened is, I had spoken on Katie Couric's show. They wanted to talk about it the next day, and I was going out to Kansas for my grandmother's funeral. So I talked to their producer, told him I couldn't do the show that day because it was obviously during the funeral. And so apparently they talked about it the entire show.
Well, I remember callers to their show drove their program. That all also happened on national shows, like Jay Sekulow's nationally syndicated radio show. He had other topics to do. He couldn't. Callers were driving the programming to talk about the comments you made on CBS Evening News, linking our godlessness and evolution with abortion and the murder epidemic we have in America.
Right. And so then the following day, they continued on the topic, and they invited me on during their prime time, which is a drive time here in Denver, to talk about the issues. And some callers were very angry, of course, and some were supportive, but we got to talk through all of the issues. And so I think that once people considered it, they realized the school systems really are responsible for the abortion epidemic. They're the ones who teach there is no right or wrong. They teach evolution, which is their godless religion. You know, they're really what is promoting all of the problems that we're having in society right now.
Yeah, they've conditioned a couple generations now to reject that authority flows downhill from God, and we cannot violate God's enduring command, do not murder.
Right. And so we covered a lot of topics, but I think that the show went very well, and I think a lot of people were surprised when they stopped to consider what I was saying and what the links are, just how valid this position is.
And by the way, we had an elder board meeting for Denver Bible Church, and we knew you were going to be on the show. So we thought, well, let's listen to the first 5 minutes. We turned it on, and our whole elder board sat there. We could not continue with our meeting until the show was over because it was so very riveting. It was a powerful show. Craig Silverman is a total pro-abort. He's the liberal. Dan Kaplis is pro-life, and you were in the middle of it, and you handled the callers, and it was a classic.
Well, thank you, and that's probably still available on their website.
All right. So, Brian, if we could do another show, if we could continue now, and we'll air it in a day or a couple shows from now, and we will talk through more of what has happened since the banquet, because a lot more has happened. So would you be able to join me, and we'll continue?
Sure.
That'll be great. I'd like to repeat the contact information to support Colorado Right to Life. If you've been driving and you can't write down any of this, well, then you could go to our website, kgov.com. Today's show will have all this contact information there. And, of course, you could remember the website, coloradorighttolife.org. It's so very easy. And like Brian Orbaugh just said, regardless of what state you're in, you could support Colorado Right to Life, because here is a statewide organization. It was the first Right to Life organization in the nation, and it is now on a solid moral footing. Commitment to never compromise, sadly, we have to say, to never again compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder. So their phone number, 303-753-9394, 303-753-9394. 9394, and their mailing address, you could send off a check or a money order to Colorado Right to Life. That's 2050 South Oneida Street, O-N-E-I-D-A, South Oneida Street, Suite 116, Suite 116, Denver, Colorado, C-O, 80224. That's Denver, 80224. Brian, the battle against the president of Wyoming Right to Life, that's sort of happening on the side because you challenged National Right to Life to debate this issue.
Well, that's exactly right. In the press release, I challenged them to debate this issue and let the American people hear an honest debate about pro-life legislation because they haven't heard that. Most people have never considered just how wicked a law like this can be.
Right. If Roe v. Wade is overturned tomorrow, if you have a 24-hour waiting period in your state, that'll keep abortion legal maybe for the next 15, 20 years. You have a parental consent, an informed consent, you have a fetal pain bill. These pro-life laws could keep abortion legal for 50 more years if Roe v. Wade is overturned. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. Check out Maranatha in Arvada.